are the teenagers? All right. I'm so glad you're here. I have something to say to you. And I know that you have something to say to us. You know, one of my very favorite things about coming to church is that I get to be with people of all ages. It's the only place in my life where I can play with babies and talk to 10-year-olds and chat with elders all in the same morning. There is that one group, though, that I hadn't had much contact with until just a few years ago, and that group was teens. There were very few teens in my church, my home church in Baltimore. It kind of seemed like as soon as the children turned 12, they stopped coming to church. We didn't have a youth group there because there were no teens. Or maybe there were no teens because we didn't have a youth group. I don't know. Anyway, I just never got a chance to spend any time with them. That didn't stop me, though, from having some notions about teenagers. Mostly, I thought they were pretty much wrapped up in their own little world, not concerned with other people. I thought teens wanted as little contact with the adults as possible, and I also assumed that they had little or no interest in religion or spirituality. So, several years ago, when a UU youth group asked me to be the chaplain at their annual conference in New York, I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know what they expected from me. The world they lived in seemed so different from mine. After we all arrived, we gathered in the small, unlit chapel at the Community Church of New York. We stood in a circle, like teens like to do. Someone struck a match and lit the chalice. Someone else began to sing. Come, come, whoever you are. And then we all joined in. Worshipper, wanderer, lover of leaving. There was no sermon, just some poetry and a nice gathering ritual where everybody joined in. It was the most spirit-filled worship at a UU meeting that I had ever been in. It was participatory and it was spiritual. It was hopeful and it was joyful. There was a sense of mystery and magic and a deep conviction for social justice. After worship, they started their meeting, and the first thing they did was to write a covenant. Someone wrote quickly on a flip chart as her peers shouted out some ideas. Use I statements, be on time, respect each other's space, step up, step back. Do you know that one? Step up, step back. I hadn't heard that before, that term. It means step up, make yourself heard, and step back, make room for others. Step up, express yourself, and yield to the quiet ones. It's dynamic, it's lively, it's flowing, it's like a dance. That's how they wanted to relate to each other. And I think that's how teens want to relate to adults. That weekend was the start of something really important for me and the ministry I hope to offer. Since then, I've been more involved in the teenagers movement, the YRUU. They inspire me, and they challenge me. Not only about the misconceptions that I had about youth, but they also challenge my thinking about our liberal faith. I have met so many youth who are deeply spiritual, and that spirituality fuels their passion for justice. I have heard them say they want adults to be involved in their lives, but they want a certain kind of involvement, one that has a quality of give and take. This kind of involvement avoids the extremes of indoctrination on one hand and just letting them wander off into the wilderness without their backpacks on the other. I hear youth saying to us, step up, participate, be a part of our lives, engage with us about spirituality, and step back, make room, give us space to be who we are becoming. Now, you adults have been pretty good at the stepping back part, the stepping back half of the dance. But on the whole, we're still a little awkward about the stepping up part. We tend to be better at the stepping back, giving space, because we value very, very much the individual spiritual quest, the freedom to find our own way. Our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors bequeathed to us a tradition of dissent. They rejected the authority of the Church of Rome. And when they came to this country, they rejected the authority of the Church of England. Over and over again, we were branded as heretics. But you know, the word heretic comes from the Greek, meaning to choose. The first great American Unitarian leader, William Ellery Channing, urged us not to stamp our minds upon the young or impose religion on them in the form of arbitrary rules. Like many people, like many of you in this room, I came to this church from a different religion. And I find Channing's approach to religious education liberating. When I was little, my parents made me go to Sunday school. It was in the Presbyterian church. And there they taught me all kinds of things that I found pretty hard to believe, but I went along anyway. Until one day, I heard something that I just could not accept. On that day, there were two visitors to our classroom. They were a young married couple. They were missionaries on their way to some far-off land. They told us that there were people in Southeast Asia and Africa and in other countries who would surely go to hell if we didn't send missionaries and Bibles to teach them about the one true religion. This is one way adults stamp their minds on the young. Adult UUs have wanted to avoid this at all costs. So we stepped back. Now, you teens, you youth, have your own spiritual gifts. And we want you to be free to develop those gifts. So we step back, giving you room to bloom. For many years, then, the prevailing philosophy for UU youth ministry was, let the young people do their own thing. We called it youth empowerment. Last year, in the YRUU journal called Synapse, two youth challenged this philosophy. They wrote, many adults have confused empowerment with abandonment. Consequently, YRUU has turned inwards, attempting to operate without the benefits of a healthy intergenerational community, without enough adult allies. Now, for your parents and for adults like me who grew up in the 60s and 70s, it's hard to believe that any teenager would want adult allies. When we were teenagers, our rallying cry was, "Don't trust anyone over 30. So many of us assume that today's teens are a lot like we were when we were growing up. So when it came to religious education, we wanted you to be free. We wanted you to be free to explore and search on your own. We didn't want to weigh you down with moralizing and heavy-handed tradition. A recent study of teen spirituality reveals that today's youth culture is not as chaotic as it was in the 60s. Many people have the impression that teens drop out of religious congregations. In fact, most of them continue to attend with their families. They are not alienated or rebellious about religion. Actually, they may be more religious than their parents. For example, this picture on the front of your order of service this morning, this is the YRUU t-shirt logo. Now, being UUs and all, we have lots of diverse opinions about this fish. When you see it on the back of someone's car, you probably have a reaction. But listen to what one youth commented on about this fish on a UU website. She said, "This fish is a symbol for Jesus' teachings on community and thankfulness. A fish with the letters YRUU in it reflects the union of revolutionary modern thought and ancient Christian ideas of community that UUism embodies. Today's youth seem to be more open to Unitarian Universalist tradition." This word tradition can be traced back to two different Latin roots. Traditum, the heavier of the two, means the unchanging, inherited weight and authority of history. Traditio, the lighter one, means a sense of the living customs of a community, the ongoing creative dance of ever-evolving meaning and practice. The youth are asking us to dance, to step up, step back, not too close, but not too far back either. It's that place in the messy middle, the place in between. And teenagers know exactly what it's like to live in those in-between places, the space between child and adult. And UUs know it too. Our faith gives us no pat answers to life's most difficult questions, nor does it leave us unbound, allowing us to believe anything we want to believe. We live our faith in the complex, messy middle where we celebrate and struggle with life. It would be simple to stamp our minds on the minds of youth, and it would be simple just to ignore them and let them be. But it's really hard to do that thing in the middle. It means handing down from generation to generation the meaning of ritual, the love of community bonds, the excitement of spiritual living. And it means doing this without shackling them to the past. This is what youth are asking us to do. The society in which the youth are growing up today may not be as chaotic as the 60s, but it is more complex. And it cannot be faced with pat answers or an anything goes philosophy. You youth are grappling now with some big questions, those big questions that life presents to people at the threshold. If we want to interact with you on such questions, we adults are going to have to step up and speak to you from the deeper spaces of our souls. We do that by telling stories, stories rich in images and feelings, stories that convey how a life connected to spirit and community is a fuller and more satisfying life. Frankly, we haven't had much practice in that kind of dance. So engaging with youth about the deeper spaces of our lives has been challenging. In its 2005 report entitled Engaging Our Theological Diversity, the UUA's Commission on Appraisal observed, "With rare exception, conversations about belief and theology are not regular features of congregational life." The commission also interviewed a group of youth, one of them who said, "You know, the grown-ups are worried that they'll influence us too much if they tell us what to believe, but being influenced by other people is how we figure out what to believe." In other words, if young people don't have anything to push against, it's hard for them to find out what their convictions are. One of our roles is to step up and provide that something to push against. But sometimes the youth give adults something to push against too. At last year's General Assembly, a study action issue called Moral Values for a Pluralistic Society was on the ballot. A study action issue is the first step in becoming an official statement or resolution of the denomination. So it becomes the topic of a denomination-wide conversation and study for 2 years. So last year, there were 5 issues on the ballot, and there was only going to be one that was adopted by the UUA. Some of the issues had to do with women's rights and children's safety and affordable housing. But this one, on moral values, was really different. Instead of targeting a specific social justice issue, it took a step back, and it asked the question, how might the moral and ethical grounding of Unitarian Universalism be given a greater voice in the public square? But the original sponsors of this issue withdrew it, and it seemed like it was a done deal, that it was finished. All of a sudden, there was great movement in the hall, and the youth caucus, about 40 of them, approached the microphone on the floor of the Fort Worth Convention Center. Addressing hundreds and hundreds of adult UUs, the youth spoke in support of this issue that had been abandoned by the adult sponsors. Here's part of what they said. "We have an obligation to present a moral alternative to our neighbors. It is our responsibility to show an alternative to the closed-minded religious dogma that now dominates our landscape. We will benefit from recognition by others as a morally bound religious body." The youth said this. The response of the delegates to this initiative was overwhelmingly favorable, and the study action was adopted. In stepping up and supporting a stronger voice for UU morality and ethics, they have placed themselves in the middle of a spiritual conversation that they want to have with adults. At the same time, they have challenged adults to get clear about our own moral convictions and to say them out loud, out there. The particulars of our lives, are all so different. Youth and adult alike need each of those perspectives because one alone is too narrow. So as we go on and move forward as a community, and as we exchange the particularities of our individual lives, we discover connections and relationships. We practice this dance. We will step on each other's toes. We lead when we should follow. We follow when we should lead. We laugh and sing out loud. We stop the music. And then we begin again in love. Come, let us dance. Blessed be.